This morning I want us to turn to the words we read there from 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15. And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. The words I want us to think of this morning are particularly for or in relation to the young ones, with the Sunday school closing there on Friday night. As we mentioned, we had the barbecue, we had the prize giving, and it was a most enjoyable night for all of us there. And the Sunday school obviously has closed down formally over the summer months. But as we often do and have done in the past, it still keeps going. And what I want to do this morning is just to take one or two thoughts from what Paul is here saying about and to Timothy as a way of bringing home to ourselves what's happening with our own young ones, what they've been taught over the past session. I know they're downstairs and some are not with us again today, but if we ourselves are reminded of what processes, education, what substance they are getting, then that can be reinforced over the summer holiday, and knowing it ourselves, we can make opposite comment to others when we might have the opportunity of speaking with them. So the situation that we have with Paul dealing with Timothy, giving guidance to him, trying to encourage him, is a very appropriate and helpful picture for us to look at and to learn from this morning. Paul is here in prison. He's standing at the very end almost of his own life. He's been through a lot, travelled far, achieved much. He knows it all from his own life. He's gathering it all together. And out of these years of practical experience and difficulty, he is in an admirable position to pass on good counsel and advice to any who would listen and to all who would follow after him. And so therefore he's conscious of Timothy coming to take up the mantle that he's about to put off. And his thoughts are going out not to himself, not to what's going to happen to him, because he knows that he's fought the good fight, he's finished his course, he's kept the faith. His thoughts now go out to the gospel, and to the way in which the responsibility of spreading it and defending it and making it known and extending it is now going to lie on the hand of Timothy. And he wants to help him. Paul knows the time he's living in. He knows the attitude, and he's got the pulse of his own generation and society. He's a good judge of character. He also knows the kind of person that Timothy is. And he knows and he thinks of him as not as strong as himself. He is a timid man. And therefore he needs to be constantly encouraged. That's the way he is. And Paul knows it. And Paul wants to constantly encourage him. And he knows that in the face of what Timothy is, as Timothy would face opposition, the possibility is of Timothy collapsing, giving in, or backtracking in the face of such opposition. He knows the man he's dealing with. And he's constantly encouraging him. And there he is at verse 11. Yes, he's in that verse, summing up all he's been through. He's there summing up in a few words, and every one of these words would open a picture for Timothy, because for much of the way and journey Timothy has been with Paul. And there at the very end of it, but out of them all the Lord has delivered me. What a testimony, a very practical testimony he's giving to this man, knowing what he's been through, some of it shared with him. And at the very end of it, not just simply 99%, but 100%, the Lord has been trustworthy, has supported him and kept him through all that he has gone through. And if that's the way the Lord was to Paul, and the Lord our God does not change, there is there an encouragement by example to Timothy, that he will be the same to Timothy as he was to Paul. The same kind of scenario that we can think of with Moses handing over and delegating authority to Joshua. Joshua, constantly the number two. Wherever they were, wandering through the wilderness and the great experiences they came through. But the point was reached when the mantle had to pass from Moses onto Joshua as well. And Moses knew the man, Joshua. And he says, as the Lord says, as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. The experiences that you've seen, the way in which the Lord kept and protected and provided for Moses, that's going to be a repeat performance in the life of Joshua. The way the Lord preserved and kept Paul, that's going to be a repeat performance for Timothy also. If he walks the same way, engages in the same work, trusts to the same extent in the God who changes not for either of them. The grace of God then, and the encouragement of it to Timothy as he comes underneath this burden of leadership with the going of Paul. And as he speaks to Timothy here, especially at the very beginning of this chapter, and he gives us a thumbnail sketch of the society in which he is living, he's pulling no punches. He's describing the hard-nosed, radical battle he's going to be engaged in. He's describing it in spiritual terms. Modern life we have, the modern pressures that we have to face. There's no, or at least there is little difference between our society now and what was described there by Paul in his day. And therefore for us, for Timothy, for us young and old alike, the young ones in the Sunday school, those of us who have been through the Sunday school, those of us who are now out in the world trying to live a Christian standard and Christian life, there is that pressure constantly bearing upon us. And now Paul is saying to Timothy, to them, to our young ones, to ourselves, if you want to be fit for life, stand firm. Stand firm. And what is he saying here? What's he telling us about his society? To understand the counsel and the advice that Paul is giving, we need to take just a few moments to look at the background picture of society as it was then, because then we will better appreciate the things that Paul is saying, appropriate as they are. What society then? What kind of people was it around Timothy in which he was growing up and working with? What was the pressure she had to cope with? What were the things that you and I have to cope with? What's society like for us round about today? And as we said there, he gives us a hard-nosed picture. Pulling no punches, he gives us a reality check on what his society was like. He's saying right at the very beginning, this know also. Understand this. Don't be in any doubt. Don't look at the world through rose-tinted glasses. Don't look at the world through your own desires or dreams. But look at society through the teaching of the Scripture. And the way in which Paul is setting out for Timothy is a summary of society, a summary that passes down to ourselves. There is one simple theme that we can take out that's appropriate for us. Society then, and society now, it's a battlefield. It's a battlefield for the mind, the allegiance, the life of everyone, us and them. It's a battlefield. That's what Paul was conscious of. He was, after all, giving us there in verse 11 the difficulties he's been through. He's been persecuted, he's through affliction. He comes to Antioch, to Iconium, to Lystra. All of these things that are given and recorded for us in the book of Acts. That's the kind of battle that he was engaged in as he engaged in the spiritual work. And it's now come to a climax because he's in Rome. And he's just a very short time away from being put to death himself. And with that kind of a battle and conflict in prospect, he is at pains to tell Timothy, don't be ashamed. Don't be ashamed of what you've got, what you've been given, and the way that you live. For ourselves and for our own children, there is always that temptation to be silent, to keep things quiet, where they were on Sunday, what kind of literature they read, what they're taught and how they live, the way in which they are different from others round about. I remember Ken Cameron always identified the problems, especially with ministers, referring to them as PKs. There's always a problem of a PK. A PK is a preacher's kid. What's your dad do? He's a minister. And they would try to whisper it underneath their breath. And here is Paul saying to Timothy, don't be ashamed of what you've been given or what you've got. Because it is in fact, in essence, the path of life and the gift. The gift the Lord alone gives of pardon and forgiveness, which we need. Conflict. That's what he's saying. That's what's going on round about us. It doesn't pass away. It's permanent. There's no truce. There's no Marquess of Queensberry rules. We don't play by conventions and rules of engagement. As far as the devil attacking us, or trying to counteract or to neutralize the effect of the Christian witness, then anything goes. Anything can be used. It won't go away just simply when we put our heads down below the parapet. Paul doesn't tell us that. We've got to fight today. We're not fighting as Paul was conscious of, as maybe we ourselves fight, conscious of fighting today with weapons and such like. We fight today with words, with ideas, with arguments. We're fighting against standards and norms of behavior in society. We're rebutting and trying to push back pressure. We're trying to counteract all of these subtle influences, or sometimes even the huge deluge that breaks upon us. Constantly engaging, trying to win the heart and the mind of young and old for the Lord Jesus Christ. But it is a battlefield, and we've got to be aware of that. And our young ones, as well as ourselves, are living in that kind of environment. And also Paul is saying, not only that it's a battlefield, but it's a battlefield now. He is saying, in the last days, perilous times shall come. And he's not pointing forward to something that's down the road, round the corner, that's yet to break upon the church then. It's with them at that very time. It's something that came The last days is a description of history in the Bible which covers the period from the coming of the Lord first time until his return second time. These are the periods that are described in Scripture as the last days, and we're living in these last days. We don't know how long they are or for how long they'll go on, but that's where we are, and we are living now in them. We've got constant opposition. There are times when that opposition can be much more intense than others. There are times when we might feel ourselves as a church or as Christians, sometimes we put out to sea on the voyage of life. And when we do that, we suddenly run into a ferocious storm that has no indication of coming upon us. Suddenly everything is breaking round about us. That's the kind of experience that comes upon Christians in the church from time to time. And Paul is saying, that isn't something that's away in the distant future. It's a reality that you know I've been through. And it's something that's going to come on you. And it's best to be prepared for it. He's not giving them, he's not telling us, he's not telling Timothy, oh look, it's over now, you don't have to worry now, never mind it. No. He's saying, and things will get worse and worse. That's what he's saying. You've had a rough ride, it's going to get worse. It's painful, it's perilous. It's hard to endure, and it's difficult to cope with. Paul went through it, and as we said at the top of the sermon, he gave to Timothy that encouragement of his own example. That's the kind of rough ride that I've been through and might be in prospect for you. But listen to what I'm saying. Out of it all, hard as it was, the Lord delivered me. And if he did, he can and he will deliver you. Paul then kept hold of the promise of sufficient grace. Not only that, if you go back to one particular experience in Acts chapter 18 and verse 10, you have there the way in which the Lord met with Paul to encourage him. I have much people in this city. To encourage him to keep going. We don't have these kind of visions as Paul had. But we do have times and experiences when the Lord comes especially close by us. When the things of the soul are precious as the Lord ministers to us. There are times when things are unusually heightened for us in spiritual blessing. And these are the times equivalent for us as with Paul, when the Lord draws near to encourage us to keep going, fight on, hard as it is, the Lord is with us, and that's his strengthening of us. And one of the things, just before we come on to the second point here, one of the things that Paul tells Timothy here is some people who have the form of godliness, but they do not know the power of it. And is that not a very apt description of what we are, where we are ourselves in our own country? We have, it's a fading thing, but we still have it. We have traditional Christianity. We have words spoken and said and shared, but perhaps not the background behind it to back it up. We can have people talking about the Lord and all of the teachings of the gospel, but when you look at them, there's no flash of eternity on their face. There's no longing in the eye. There's no excitement in the words. That's what makes the difference. Yes, to have the form. We have them now, Paul had them then. But we've got to have the reality behind it and below it, of knowing the Lord for ourselves. That's what Paul is saying to Timothy. Get involved. Get in there. Mix with these people, because you are salt, you are light amongst them to do them good. But as he gives them that counsel, as he tells them to be involved, as we ourselves, we are to be in the world but not of the world. Our Lord himself prays that in John 17. We are in it for its good, but we are not molded as it is itself. And therefore, as we get involved in society, as this society we've been describing, this society in which our young ones are growing up, as we seek to fit them for life, there is always the danger of infection. They mix with people who don't have the same standard. They're going to be mixing with them more than they mix with us. And there's always the danger of infection and of carrying them away with a flood. And so therefore Paul is saying to Timothy, and we come on to it now, Paul is now giving counsel to stand firm. Stand firm. Having described and summarized the society, he goes on now in verse 10, but you. But as for you, Timothy, you're taught, you've been taught these things, and you are different. You are different, Timothy. We do it ourselves. We teach the first, we teach people, and we pray for the second, that they be different. You have the real gospel, the true Saviour. You've come through all these pressures that challenge you constantly. The world knocks at your door all the day long. You therefore got this strong and substantial foundation to stand firm and fight against it. What are the three things that Paul highlights and outlines for Timothy? And as we do so, keep in mind our application of these three simple words also for our own young people. He says, first of all, in verse 10, but you have fully known my. And he goes on to give a list of different things. And the best way of summarizing this is, Paul is saying to Timothy, you know my example. You've been with me, Timothy. You've seen me. You've heard me. You know what it is to live as I live. You have been grappling with the teaching. You've been following what I've been saying. You've taken it to yourself and you have believed it and you've absorbed it. This is my hope. And this hope has now become your hope. Look at my life, Paul is saying to Timothy. Consistent with this teaching. We have that advert, and it's used so often in positions such as this. Remember the advert, it does what it says on the tin. It does what it says on the tin. That's exactly what applies to Paul. What he said and what he did were consistent. How did he respond under pressure? Did he crack like others cracked? How did he cope with temptation? When people got in his way and made life difficult for him, crossed him. When he had to deal patiently and perhaps his patience was coming to an end, what happened then? How did he carry himself and behave when he was in a tight corner and a situation? These are the kind of practical questions and situations in life that Paul is now rehearsing for Timothy. You know my doctrine, my manner of life, my purpose. What was the consuming desire in Paul's life? To let people know of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know my faith, and what he means there is faithfulness, reliability, his trustworthiness. All of these things are there heaped out on the table before Timothy. To Timothy, rake amongst, look at them, daring him to find some way in which he was inconsistent with what he was saying. And Paul, with confidence, can say, no, you won't find anything, because I've tried as best I'm able to live by what I'm teaching and saying. The nitty-gritty events and affairs of life. That's what Paul is speaking of and sharing with Timothy. His example as an ordinary Christian. Now, none of us are perfect. None of us are perfect. We all have our faults. But we have to try and strive to be like Paul. What we say on our lips is to be seen in our lives. And that's the impression we've got to make and leave with others for our Lord. Our dependability, our long-suffering, our patience, our endurance, the way in which we keep smiling when things get difficult for us. That's the kind of example that Paul is reciting and recalling for Timothy. He's going to have to walk that same path. And therefore he says to Timothy, remember. Just remember the way in which I went down that road. And he's not drawing attention to himself for his own praise. As we said at the very end of that verse 11, he's drawing attention to his own example of what he's been through, because his example testifies every step of the way to the way in which the Lord delivered him and kept him safe. Perhaps today, we are to be like that to young ones, not just simply our own family circle. But we're all got influences, perhaps slightly wider than that. There's always the auntie designation to somebody who's got influence in another family. Or there's always the influence of second and third generations of a granny who's got the ability to speak to a young one. We've got flesh and blood examples. We've got a flesh and blood opportunity. We have therefore to speak with others, to bring home to them the same examples, pointing them to the same Saviour. And even if we think of those who have gone from our company, been taken from our circle, though they've been laid to rest, their example still is vivid in our memory, and we can still be encouraged by it and what they told us about the way they lived. Stand firm, he's saying, fit for life, follow my example. But the second thing that Paul goes on to talk about here, not only his example, but then he goes on in verse 14 to speak about Timothy's education. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of. You've been taught the good and the true way. Our own young ones have been taught that. We ourselves have been taught that. This is a danger, this is the infection that we were thinking of a moment ago. There's always the danger of infection coming into the church. Innovations. New things. well, the old way isn't working anymore. People aren't becoming members, not being saved. There's no growth in this church. And therefore, well, we've got to look for innovations, doing things differently. The appeal has gone from this way, let's try another way to get the excitement back in. The traditional, it's dull. That's the danger that we've got. What we've got to do is to take the teaching and translate it into modern applications, terms related to modern day problems, using real life examples, but always hold on to the same message, the old, old story, into a new society. It's not a fresh composition. It's not a new chapter we're writing, but we're taking the old and translating it into society that we're in today. You see that here with this very man, Timothy. What do we have his grandmother Lois. We have his mother Eunice. Three generations where there was teaching and education taking place down the line. And Timothy was third in the queue behind these other two. One teaching the other, both with actions and with words, planting the seed, pleading the promise, training the child. Paul, yes, had that opportunity. The open door there for Paul because he was with Timothy, but far, far more influential than Paul is a mother or a granny or an auntie. The kind of extended family that we know was in operation in the days of the New Testament. The kind of extended family that, sad to say, today has been whittled down, dismantled. But that's the kind of place and that's the kind of area we've got to battle and fight to retain the very structure that is good and healthy and wholesome for society today. Perhaps grey-headed, not able to go out and do the things we once were able to do. We always do it just that little bit slower. Our body is frail. Our voice is failing. But we know what we've been taught. From a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation. We have that assurance. We know it. It's in our gut. It's inside our bones. We know it for ourselves, no matter what age we are. And therefore we can pass it on and share it with others. We can engage in this great venture of education, not just simply to young ones, but to others wherever the opportunity is presented of telling what the Lord has done for us and is able to do for others. And having spoken and shared and testified, to wrap it around in prayer that the word of the Lord would not return to him void, but accomplish his purpose. Yes, example. Yes, education. And then we come to the third thing. And that from a child thou hast known the Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation. There's his own experience. What is it that Lois and Eunice have been focusing upon? What is it that Paul was focusing upon? We saw that last time. Paul, for his own personal life, that I might know him. That's what he longed more and more for himself. And as he went about his work, preaching and ministering, I was determined, the one thing he says going into the gates of Corinth, I was determined to know nothing amongst you but Christ and him crucified. There was that focal point upon the Lord constantly in the life of Paul, in any department and wherever he went. And that's the one experience that he wanted others to have, and Timothy here testifies that he has had it. Different from any other experience in life. There's nothing that even comes close to the time of the day when we come to trust in the Lord for ourselves. This book we have in our hands speaks about our God and his work and all that he has done. Tells us about creation, speaks about providence. But the most important thing is he lifts the veil back and he reveals something to us of himself and of his gracious purposes in his Son. Dying upon a cross, opening the way to heaven and clearly identifying the path to hell. Showing to us the one way, the one salvation, and calling upon us to trust and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the experience that he wanted for Timothy, and Timothy had. This is the experience we want for our own young ones, and we pray for them. And they, and Timothy, and Paul, and us together, that we might discover for ourselves the sufficiency, the adequacy for every eventuality in life, that the Lord himself, the Lord is more than equal to all that comes our way. Fitted for life. Equipped for work. For living. That's what he's seeking for Timothy. That's what we seek for our own young ones. That's what we seek for ourselves. The experience of knowing the Lord for ourselves. Stress might come. Pressures will come. Things will be piled into our lives, but whatever comes our way, we will never reach a point where we are beyond the scope and the resources and the promises of Scripture and the ability of God to keep us. And that always, going right through what he's saying here, Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and that's what we come to time and again. What is the position of the Bible? The most important test of orthodoxy. What is the position of Scripture in our system of belief, in our church structure, in the message that we bring? We can have so many structures that look to be similar, engaged in the same work, but come back to the foundation. What are you building it upon? For ourselves, we hold on to this simple book and its teaching from God. And the purpose and the intention behind it all, that the man of God, the Christian Paul, the Christian Timothy, ourselves as Christians and our children as we seek them for the Lord, that the man of God may be perfect. Thoroughly furnished unto all good work. Thoroughly furnished, putting another way, fully equipped, fit for life, no matter what life throws at us. We need to stand. Our young ones need to stand. The only way they can do is by standing on this one foundation, the Lord Jesus Christ. We teach, we equip, we instruct, we give example. We've been through that process ourselves. We know it. The Lord has taught us and shown us. What then have we done with what the Lord has given to us? Is the Lord our Savior? All the things that have been brought into, fixed in our lives. Can we come to that same experience that Timothy speaks of, at least that Paul speaks of regarding Timothy, to know him for ourselves, and knowing him for ourselves, to seek to pass on and to share with others, children as well as others, the one, the best, the greatest friend of all, the friend that stays closer than any brother, the Lord Jesus Christ, fit for life. Let us pray. O Lord, our gracious God, we bless thy name for the way in which thy word is more than equal to all of the problems and predicaments that face us in life, able to help us cope with all the pressures and the dilemmas that come into our lives, cutting a clean and simple path through the chaos that surrounds us, and giving to us the strength and the courage to follow the way that we know to be true. And Lord, as we know these things for ourselves, we pray that those young ones, our own immediate responsibility, standing as they do at the threshold of life, that they might have the same conviction as they step out, and that they might know and have the same discoveries as we have, that thou art equal and able to every eventuality of life. Hear us, O Lord God, and deal with us in thy grace. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. We're closing this morning by singing from Psalm 25 and at verse 4. Psalm 25 and 4. Show me thy ways, O Lord, thy paths, O teach thou me. And do thou lead me in thy truth, therein my teacher be. For thou art God that dost to me salvation send, and I upon thee all the day expecting do attend. Thy tender mercies, Lord, I pray thee to remember, and loving kindnesses, for they have been of old forever. And then this verse 7. My sins and faults of youth do thou, O Lord, forget. After thy mercy think on me, and for thy goodness great. Psalm 25, verse 4. Show me thy ways, O Lord.